What do we want out of life? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, the absolute philosopher, here in Campo, California, talking about what do we want out of life. I have the privilege of giving seminars and talking to people all over the world, having a great time sharing ideas, talking about being themselves and having fun. And I always go back to being yourself and having fun. And people always misunderstand it. They think that that is the ice cream or the frosting on the cake. And I say, no, no, that's the whole cake. That's the whole cake. Frosting, ice cream, cake, everything. That's the whole dinner. A whole meal. Be yourself and have fun. And so then, as I told one of my students recently, I said, you're all uptight. You're losing your bubble. And she, of course, was losing her bubble. What she was doing was getting so involved in preparing to enjoy life that she wasn't enjoying it while she was preparing to enjoy it. Well, she was doing was to get so busy with learning all the things that she forgot to enjoy it as she went along. I tell people in any way I know how to tell them, in every way I know how to tell them, to dream their wildest dreams. I say, don't be normal. If you're going to be normal, then you're just like all the rest of the human beings who are getting along in life and putting up with today and tomorrow and yesterday. And they're doing a poor job of yesterday. They're doing a poor job of tomorrow. And they're doing an unhappy job of today, because today is always thought in relation to yesterday and to tomorrow. And that's very unfortunate. If we're going to, I'm considering taking some classes in Apple, and I can take them on the computer and various other ways, and learn how to run that machine, because it's so simple that everyone who starts out with it finds it very delightful and very wonderful. The only trouble I'm having is how I learned German. When I learned German, I tried to understand German with English words, and it doesn't work. When you speak German, and you speak the language, you just speak it and you flow with it. And when you flow with it, you just go with it. And if you just let yourself alone, you do very well. But you say the grammar and these other things. Well, that's true. That's true. But consider yourself as a little child. And the little child says, wah, 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 wah. I'm hungry, 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 you know. Eat, 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 eat. And he says, potty, potty time, potty, potty. He has to go potty. He says in clear words an entire sentence, an entire concept. And he puts across the entire concept. And so the mother comes around and says, oh, you want to go to the bathroom? Come, I will help you go to the bathroom. And the kid says, potty, potty. And then after a while, the kid says, oh, I want to go to the bathroom. And he speaks in very good language because the mother doesn't bow down to his simple terms. And this is what we do. We have our goals, and our highest self knows how to do those goals perfectly. But our ordinary self hasn't woke up to how to do that yet. No. How are we going to wake up our ordinary self, how to do it. When we say potty, does our mother say to us, oh, you want to go to the bathroom? Come. And you know that the word potty then means go to the bathroom. It means to do your duty and things like that. So it becomes a normal thing. Oh, don't talk like that around here. We don't talk about going to the potty around here. We don't talk about things like that. That's naughty, you know. Well, if a parent were to start that, the child would think that anything to do with going to the toilet or having to have a bodily movement was a bad thing, you know, like Adam and Eve covering themselves up with a fig leaf. And it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting how these things work out and how these people activate themselves and how life goes on. But you see, people get involved in learning Apple computer, for instance, and they're very good on the PC. And so they say, where are all my my old friends on the PC? You know, where is my save? Where did it save to? Where did these things go? And what happened to them? And I don't have my usual, my document area that it goes to. And, well, in the truth, you do. You have all those things, just have a different name to them. Apple gives them a different name because it doesn't want to be Windows, you know. It wants to be an Apple. So it gives them different names. So you just have to learn the different names. And so if you say, help, I want to save this, and then you go to save. And in save, you save it. Now, where am I saving it? I want to save it to my documents. Then save it to your documents. I set it up to be saved that way. Organize yourself to be done that way. And you see, then your higher self begins to tell you, these are just the simple ways to do it. It's not really as complicated as it might seem, because it's a little different. It's a different language. It's like German and English. You're learning two different languages. The process is exactly the same, because Macintosh does everything that Windows does, and Windows does everything Macintosh does, because if it didn't, then the other would surely steal from the other so that they would do it. So really, it's just a matter of like learning another language. And how do we go about learning another language? Well, number one, we have an inspiration to do it. We have a girlfriend or a boyfriend that speaks the other language, and to communicate with them, we have to learn how to say things. And we don't want to say things that will make us be misunderstood. We don't want to say naughty things to them when we are in English saying just chatty things. And in German, it might sound very harsh and very stark and very, very tough. So we have to learn these little nuances, these little idioms, and learn to use them properly. Well, that's the same with our computer and the same with anything. Now, I'm speaking primarily today about Irene, because Irene is a super lady. And Irene has always been a super lady. And Irene lost her sparkle. And somewhere along the line, she lost her sparkle, not because she didn't take care of it, not because she didn't pay attention, is that she got too involved in the details of living. She set her up a program that would have shaken up a genius. And it didn't shake her up. The only thing that shook her up was that she expected her progress to be faster than it was. She went to clown school to learn how to be a clown. And she became a very serious clown. Well, now, when have you ever heard of a serious clown? Well, that's what every clown is. Every clown is serious. He is absolutely serious on the inside. He knows exactly how to do his trade, how to do his activities. If he falls, he knows how to fall without hurting himself. He knows how to fall to make it look funny, to make it look like an accident. When he does some silly thing, he does it on purpose. He knows that these silly things are going to bring about a response from the audience. And everything he does, he tries to act real serious, but he is just making everybody laugh and giggle. And he knows that. And he in himself is laughing and giggling, but he cannot show it outwardly because he's supposed to be a deadpan. And that's just part of the art, okay? Now, Irene is working with learning to be a clown. She's working with her mother and treating her mother to be the most outstanding mother on the face of the earth, the most outstanding woman on the face of the earth, the most outstanding being on the face of the earth, because it's a reflection of who? Irene. And so that's how she's reflecting her mother. Now then, she's doing the same thing to her sister, you see? And she's doing the same thing to her two brothers. And she's doing the same thing to her boyfriends, you know? And she's doing the same thing to every relationship that she has, to her job, to all the patients that she is the caregiver for, all the patients that she goes and checks on every day and works with them, and they're terminal patients, basically, but she's making them into patients that live every moment in the now fully and completely. Well, she's a magic lady. Now, she lost her bubble because she thought she had to be magic in all areas at one time. And of course you do, but you don't think about it. If you think about it, then you aren't. So if she's going to be a clown, she must be a clown. She must not be a caregiver. When she goes in and caregives, if she's going to be a clown as a caregiver to bring a little sparkle in their eyes, then she must stop thinking of being a caregiver and think only of being a clown. If she's going to try to couple the two together, they're not going to fit. Because a caregiver is somebody who looks at the appearances and works on them. A clown is someone who doesn't look at the appearances, but goes in there and says, "Oh, you're a silly person. You know, I've never seen such a silly person in my life. Here you are. You want to die. You want to die because you're old and you're sick and so forth. What a silly way to do it. Why don't you get well? Why don't you get well like everybody else does? You can get well if you want. Don't you want to get well? You're a silly, silly, silly person, you know." And a clown can say that, but the caregiver can't say that very well, because the caregiver is supposed to work with appearances. But the caregiver has to come across that way too. But you see, these are things that we are working with in our life. We are losing our sparkle when we start thinking so seriously about what we're doing. Now this morning, I came in the house and I told Sylvia that she had left the gate open on the swimming pool area when she brought the chemicals in. And Rex could have run right in there and jumped in the pool, which wasn't ready to have him. And I said, "What do? We always close everything we open. We always close it." Now, there are no rules on campus. So you don't have to close it if you open it, because there are no rules anymore. I said there are no rules. And so you leave the gate open, that's perfectly okay. But if Rex jumps into your new chemicalized pool and gets all full of bleach and all full of chlorine and gets in his eyes and his ears and his nose and his mouth and he dies because of it, then you would say, "My God, why didn't I close the gate? Why didn't I close the gate when I'm working on something so important like that? I got all these chemicals out there, all these bleaches and stuff that out there. My God, if Rex had gotten into that and stuck his nose in there and I just hate to think what would have happened." But you see, that's why we don't need rules. We just use common sense. Now, we were singing the Om this morning, and in singing the Om, I thought, I'm going to be a little different. And so I said, "Okay, mentally, come on, everybody, be a little different with me, follow me." And Ellen is used to giving the Om, and so she's conducting it in a very serious, mannerly way that has to be done. Herb told me to do it, and Herb told me that this is the way it has to be done, and so I'm doing it that way. And then Herb comes along and acts like a silly old goat, you know, and he acts like a clown, you know, a stupid clown, telling us to do this and do that, and it's silly. It's very silly. But why does he do that? Why does he do that? Well, maybe he is teaching us to not be so serious. Maybe he's teaching us not to be so tied up in a knot. And somebody's got to teach us that. Now look at here. Here we have these three bowls of cereal here. 1, 2, 3. And this is always the little bowl, which has the stuff people use the most of in. And we have a lot of bigger bowls around here. We could have three big bowls. And this little bowl could be the one that goes to to Ingeborg, because Ingeborg doesn't like to use his, no, she likes more cereal, so Ingeborg should have a big bowl. And Ingeborg, give me your bowl there. Abbott, give me your bowl. Thank you. See, it's a little bowl. It's a little bowl for a lady who eats a big meal. She likes a big bowl of cereal, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, my God, you played the game. Thank you. Yes. So, you should have a big bowl. And now, Sylvia, give me your bowl. It's a little bowl, too, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bowl. Ellen, give me your bowl. It's a little bowl. All right. I'm the only one around here who had the big bowl. And that's intelligent. Because but I don't really need the big bowl. Because I take only about the portion of a little bowl. But, I mean, this is important. And if we don't pay attention to these little things, then we're going to get all confused. You say, Herb, what a bunch of nonsense. Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it? And isn't it fun? Isn't it fun? You see, life is to be enjoyed. Life is not to be worried about. If we are doing things that make us lose our bubble, that make us lose our joy of living, then we're doing something, you know, not to our benefit. And really, that's not what we want to do. So we want to stop being so serious. We want to do things intelligently. We want to do things wisely and well. But to be serious about things all the time, it takes the fun out of it. Now, are you serious much of the time? Too much of the time. A lot of times you'll laugh at something or you'll pretend, but in your heart you're just angry and unhappy. And I know it. I know it. I know right to the depths of each one of you what's going on inside of you and what sort of anxieties are going inside of you. And whenever you've got some things on your heart, you take it out on everybody else with your attitude, and you don't even realize you're taking it out on everybody else because you're so hung up on it in yourself. So this is why Irene must first be a clown to herself. And when she's first a clown to herself, then she'll look at everything from a totally different point of view. Then, when Irene is a lover to herself, everybody in her world will be her lover. Man, woman, child, everybody. Unconditional lover. And wonderful as it is. And so, in her work, she'll be ideal. Because when she is at work, she thinks of work. When she is at play, she thinks of play. When she is at clown school, she thinks of clowning. Now, she came to our seminar in Bigorio, in Montebrey, and she put on a little clown skit for us. And she opened up her little box of toys that the clown carries with it. And then she was sitting on the floor with a big red nose on her face and a funny cap on her head and a jacket. And she holds it out, and she holds out a little puppet. And the little puppet was doing something. It wasn't very funny. And she said, "Now come on, laugh. You're supposed to laugh." And she said, "Irene, you're supposed to do things that make us laugh. If you tell us to laugh, then you are not being a good clown. We should laugh spontaneously because you make us laugh." Oh, yeah. You see, she was thinking about what they did in clown school. In clown school, they did these things to make people laugh, and then they told the rest of the group, "Come on, laugh, see?" And in doing that, that's no laughter. That's no way for a clown to act. And these are things that we want to all be aware of when we're playing a game. If you're telling a joke, and you're laughing while you're telling a joke, forget it. I know Endless in Nigeria had a joke to tell us. No, he wanted to tell us this joke. And as he told the joke, he was laughing so hard, we couldn't even get the joke. And when he finally came to the punchline of the joke, he almost laughed it away. And we didn't find it humorous at all, because we were waiting for us to get turned on, and he was the only one that was turned on. And I said, "Endless, what's the point of your story?" He'd forgotten. But you see, he didn't forget because he was thinking he had to tell a funny story, and if it's a funny story, he has to laugh at it while he's telling it, and of course that's not the case. That's not the case. I tell, you know, Endless, you tell so many funny little stories that make us just laugh so much. about what do you do on the bus when you take a child from a mother's arms and the child instantly becomes quiet and then you end up holding the child for the entire trip, you know, and what have you and what have you. You become the babysitter for the child, and the mother is perfectly happy to have it be that way because she can sit there and relax peace and know that she doesn't have to be concerned about the baby. Now, what a great creator. Ha, 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 Mr. Endless, ha, ha, ha. He said, well, I love it. I said, okay, as long as you love it. But did you have an easy time giving the child back to the parent when you had to get off the bus? Yeah. But you see, or no, you know, whatever the case may be, did she accept her child back? Okay, don't you have to go a little further to ride with me? But you see, our life is so filled with things. And if we will live each moment for the moment, if we will live each moment in the moment and do each moment whatever it calls for, if we are being a clown, be a clown. If we're being a caregiver, be a caregiver. If we're being a secretary, be a secretary. If we're being a lover, be a lover. Can you imagine you have someone in your arms and you're holding them and you're saying, oh, you're so wonderful, Joe. And he says, you know, I was just thinking about going fishing. What? Here I am snuggling you in my arms and cooing sweet nothings in your ears, and you're thinking of going fishing? He said, well, that's where I have the greatest fun, so if that's what I'm thinking while you're snuggling me, then that's very good. Joe, that's a lame excuse. And you see, this is what we oftentimes do. We allow ourselves to be thinking of too many things at once. And live in the now, think the now, think whatever you're doing now. And I have told you here on campus that we have no rules anymore, and I mean it. And I've told you here on campus that I change directions of things that I say from moment to moment to moment to moment. And while I may have said you're supposed to sing your heart out and be joyous and so forth, that's fine. And then again, I may say, not while we're eating our dinner. If you're going to sit at the table singing away while we're eating our dinner, it can be very disconcerting. You know, Ellen, eat your food. I'm singing. Ellen, eat your food. It's getting cold. I'm singing, you know. And Ellen says, well, you told us we should sing. We should sing all that we want, every time we want. I said, Ellen, you're very welcome. Sylvia, take her plate and put it away. She doesn't care about eating. And Ellen says, hey, I haven't finished yet. Well, what are you going to do at this now instant? You're going to sing or you're going to eat, you know? I ask Sylvia to read different emails that come in and so forth. And so her food of hot meal is sitting in front of her, getting cold. And so Ellen takes the food and puts it in the microwave and warms it up when Sylvia's done reading. And then she's got a nice hot plate in front of her. But if she hadn't, the plate of food would have gotten very cold. And that's a very thoughtful thing. But if Ellen truly was listening to what Sylvia was reading, then she wouldn't have even thought about Sylvia's food being cold, and nor would she be concerned, because Sylvia's a big girl. And when Sylvia's done, Sylvia can get up and put it in the microwave herself, or Sylvia can eat the cold food and not think anything of it. The cold food is perfectly all right. Last night, the food we had for supper was things that I would not normally have eaten, and I should not normally have eaten them. And after I ate them, I thought to myself, now why did I eat that stuff? That wasn't what I wanted at all. I didn't want those fried potatoes. I didn't want that piece of meat, which was, what do you call it? Cabbage.
Boiled meat.
Boiled beef. Boiled beef, yeah. I didn't care for it. But, you see, I should just not eat these things that I don't care for. And then I will find that I will eat the right foods, you know, like I'll eat more fruits and more vegetables and what have you. And that's just great. But, you see, I should live in the now, too. I should practice what I preach. And if I'm teaching us all to live in the now, I should live in the now. And if anything in the now ever disagrees with me, I should say, okay, so be it. You know, I go on to whatever I want to do, be untouched. And you too can be untouched. And Irene is such a dynamic, marvelous girl that it's true, her bubble has burst, but she's going to build a new one. And the new one is going to stay in the now. And every time she goes anywhere, she's going to be a bubble in the now. Irene has a little bubble blower, one of these little things the kids have, soap in a bottle, and then she blew that during the seminar and made us all laugh and giggle. And her bubbles are there. Her bubbles are waiting to blow up big and for bring laughter and happiness and joy to the whole world. And for you too, the same way. You watch and see. You know, I was talking with Rhonda Joyce the other day, and Rhonda was saying that she has earned her doctorate of metaphysics now, and she's using it in her work with counseling with people and so forth. And different friends have not recognized that she was Dr. Rhonda Joyce. And I said, well, Rhonda, do you respect yourself? Of course I do. I said, when I call you and I get your answering service, I say, this is Rhonda. I'll return your call, leave your number. This is Rhonda. This is Rhonda. This is Rhonda. And then I say, hello. And I say, this is Herb. This is Rhonda. You know, and if that's who you are, then that's who you are. But if you are Dr. Joyce Brothers, I mean, if you are Dr. Rhonda Joyce, you see, then I will do it. And when a client calls you and wants to talk to you about counseling, you say, I'm Dr. Rhonda Joyce, and I'm most happy to work with you anytime. And if you want to call Dr. Rhonda Joyce, you just call this number, and you'll reach Dr. Rhonda Joyce. And Dr. Rhonda Joyce is a very wonderful lady. You say, that's overkill. No, it isn't. That person's going to remember you as Dr. Rhonda Joyce, or Dr. Rhonda, or Dr. Rhonda Joyce. Now, if you want them. And she said, why is it some people forget about it? Because you were not doctor for a long time. You only earned that recently. And you earned that, and our degree is approved by the state of California. Our degree is a rational degree. And other people who are working in the counseling field have, diplomas from a diploma mill, where they spend $5 and get a doctorate, and they don't want anyone to investigate where they got their doctorate from, because it doesn't have too much backing of it, whereas the University of Healing doctorate has a great deal backing up. Now, Rhonda was so uptight about how do I get the message across, and I say, respect yourself. When Irene respects herself as a clown, she'll be a wonderful clown. When she respects herself as a caregiver, she'll be a wonderful caregiver. When she respects herself as a person who enjoys her own company, so be it. And when Rhonda Joyce begins to call herself Dr. Rhonda Joyce and begins to act like Dr. Rhonda Joyce, then so be it. However, it's not the doctor, it's not the Rhonda, it's not the Joyce that makes her into the person that she is. It's that being inside of her that people look at and they say, there's something about you I like. I don't know what it is, but I just like it. And what do people call you? Jesus? No. What do people call you? God? No. What do people call you? Oh, Dr. Rhonda Joyce. Oh, okay. And then you're talking to your son. And you say, son, I just got my doctorate. Hey, Mom, that's great. No, no, no. Dr. Mom. You say, Dr. Mom. Okay, Dr. Mom. I like playing games, Mom. Dr. Mom. Hey, kids, my mom is Dr. Mom now. And the kids will say, hi, Dr. Mom. I like you, Dr. Mom. Oh, Dr. Mom, that's a great word, you know. And Dr. Rhonda Joyce. You see, you make the fun out of it. You make a joy out of it. And pretty soon, even the neighborhood goes around saying, well, go talk to Dr. Mom. And everybody knows who you're talking about, you know. But just remember, your cat remembers you as Rhonda. So If you want to keep a good relationship with your cat, just stay with the name that she's most familiar with, and you'll have the happiest time in life. These are things that make the world go round, to live in the now and to enjoy yourself and have a good time. So do that and realize that you're pretty wonderful, and I'm pretty wonderful, and we're pretty wonderful, and life's pretty wonderful, and it's all in the now. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.